I'd like to start with a verse in Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter. The 13th verse says, "Consider the work of God." God is a mighty God. Think about all that He did. When you let your mind go and start thinking about what all God did, it can kind of overwhelm you a little bit. Way before I ever knew the Lord, I used to, as a young boy, look up into the summer night and clear mountain air and the stars shining, and used to kind of let it overtake me to the feeling of how small I felt and how big everything was and all that was out there and all those kind of things. And I don't assume to know anything hardly about what all of it all is. But when I think about all that God did, all that He made, it just is so much to consider. The fish in the sea. I mean, we don't even know what all's out. I mean, we don't know what we pass over that's in the ground, or we don't hardly even notice and can understand the amount of insect life and life of organisms and everything that's around us that God did. Surely His works was mighty and way beyond our finding out and understanding. But I don't think that's what this scripture is talking about when it said to consider the work of God. But it says to consider. So tonight I think it would be good if we would do that. Consider the work of God. What is that He's talking about? What is the work of God? Do you know what? God wants to make something out of you. God wants to make something out of me. But it says to consider this. Consider the work of God for a little bit to think, well, Lord, when I start a project, I have a goal in mind. I rarely do we start doing something without an idea about what the accomplishment is. Surely God's work is aimed at something. There's a goal that He has in mind. His work isn't haphazard or just thrown out there, but it's got a specific goal in mind to it. He wants to do something. He wants to make something, create something. He wants to do something, make something of me. To consider, well, Lord, if that's true, what? You must have a goal then. There's a song that I've heard sung before. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took Him just a week to make the earth and took Him only a week to make the earth and the stars, the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. Well, he's still working on me. He's trying to make something out of me. But He's got a goal in mind of it that He's trying to do. God created the whole universe, but He's still having to work on me. So something is different about the whole thing. Maybe I play a part in it. Maybe I have something in there. Maybe I hinder that process somewhere along the line. But consider the work of God tonight, of what God wants to do. I think I know what God wants to make out of me as I consider His work. I think he wants to make me more like Christ. I think he wants to perform in me a work of righteousness. I think he's serious about this idea that we love one another, that we have pure thoughts, that we go through this life in an honesty and those kind of things. And sometimes our humanity kind of gets in the way of those kind of things. It's not hard to come up with an attitude about something. But consider the work of God a little bit tonight. Because God has an arsenal that he uses. His whole creation is at his disposal tonight. And he will use that. All of that is all designed to make something of us. Brother Carl mentioned about he still feeds us in the storms. Well, the storm's in the hand of God. To bring that storm at its day and its time to make something out of me. To help me consider tonight the work of God in our own lives. What he's trying to do. Many, many times we want to interfere. We want to change the direction of things about our own lives. We want to do it our way. I want life and I want it my way. I want to alter the things to do it my way. But God's trying to make something out of us. Consider his work. Consider what he's trying to do. If you and I could just realize that the things that God brings into our lives will be beneficial to us. It will be. If we allow it. If we allow God to have his way in our lives. As he brings the things to our lives, they will be beneficial. I'm not going to be political, but I want to mention some things. Because we have an election coming up. Been through some of these sometimes. I know we can be opinionated. I know we have things that we think's right and wrong, and we have all these ideas and all of those things. But if I may say, God's not going to let us down. I don't know the outcome, but I know God ain't going to let us down. And I know that God wants our attitude to be on November 4th, 8th, 12th, whatever. I know that he wants our attitude to be godly. I know that he wants us to have a faith in God beyond a faith in a country or a political figure. He wants us to believe in God and have faith in God, and he will send to us. He'll make something out of us. You'd say, well, I'm going to get the rest of this scripture. But you'll say, I don't want it that way. I got my opinion. I got my way. Well, the rest of this scripture is this. Consider the work of God. For who can make that straight which he's made crooked? Okay, here's the challenge. The challenge kind of goes like this. You just as well get the good out of this because you ain't going to change it. So the idea is God's going to bring something in our life and he's going to aim for it to get something to it. You just as well get everything you can out of it. Because what's crooked, you can't make straight. When God sends something that is unpleasant to us in this life, we still can say, thank you, Jesus. We still can have a faith to know that there's something bigger planned for my life in the way of righteousness. There's more involved in me getting a confidence in God and having a faith in God and believing this. And I'll say this, that God many times uses the adversities to glorify himself instead of the prosperities. God will use the God would rather show himself strong. I'll use an example. You remember, I believe it was when Gideon was facing the enemy, and the Lord comes along and tells Gideon, your army's too big. Surely God could have took over care of the enemy with the big army as well as he does with the little one. That wasn't God's concern, wasn't in what he could do. God already knows what he can do. God was concerned because he wanted to make something out of them. So he told Gideon, your army's too big. Well, how can you have too big of an army? I can see you have too little one. But how can you have an army that's too big? But God, looking at it, said, your army's too big. So he whittled it down. And then after it got whittled down, he looked and told Gideon, your army's too big. Well, we're whittled down to what? 30,000? You're too big. And the reason you're too big is that if I give you victory, you're going to think you did it. So God is able to get a glory out. He whittled it down. Lord, that looks pretty crooked to me. We're going to take on this great army with these two guys. And he didn't get, and he didn't go into some lab somewhere or go in and make some kind of super duper weapon, laser beam type thing that's going to overdo it. He simply told him to take some lamps and pitchers out there. Take some. Lord, we're going to do this. No, I'm going to glorify God. I'm going to make something out of you. We'll look at it many times in the adversities that come in life. We want to kick them out as fast as we can. Well, that'd be the human idea about it. But God can use those things to make things of us that you wouldn't hardly even think about. God will allow this to bring capture. It will capture our attention. When nothing else can, God knows how to capture our attention. We live in a very prosperous time. It's easy to get lethargic about stuff. We eat enough. We do this. At times, prayer can be just in that. But God knows how to make something out of us. He knows how to wake us up. Thank God. In my lifetime, my experience has been is when I've got in those kind of places in my life, God was faithful to me. Sometimes there'll be a soft word about something, but rarely in these situations is there the soft word. There's a crooked path. There's something crooked happens. There's something that I say, I don't want that. It seems wrong. It seems like, and there was a story one time where God's heart was to do something with Israel. He was going to make a people. The whole plan was he's going to have a people and Jesus Christ was going to be born. But he had a plan for a people. And there was a young man named Joseph. And God decided to take a faithful man down a crooked path. And what man wouldn't straighten it if he could? Would you like to be thrown into a well? No, you'd straighten it out if you could. But who could straighten it? God made a plan, a crooked plan. I say God made a crooked plan. He said they intended it for evil, but God took their whole intentions. And it was nothing Joseph could do about it, but he prospered. God made something out of him. God made something out of it that all these centuries later, you and I look at it as an example. What a great example. God took somebody through a hardship and a problem and showed himself faithful, showed himself powerful. Well, it looked like it was crooked and it got better. At least Joseph was in a good situation and all of a sudden it got more crooked. Maybe Joseph wasn't praying. Maybe he was. And maybe he was praying more fervently than ever when it went south on him. I remember one time in my life, and I really got under a real burden that I was going to really do some praying, and I was going to contact God, and I made my prayers as fervent as I could, and I really got to praying. After a few days of that, I sat back and said, Lord, I just ain't so sure about this. From the time I started getting fervent, I mean the battle heated up on everything. It was like I was praying disaster on every hand on that. Well, you're praying. What are you praying for? To be made something. Lord, have your way. Praying, and all of a sudden it looks like it's coming. It's God's hand. He made a crooked path for Joseph all the way down, but he was going to make a time that it was going to come right. It'll come right for you.
You hang in there with God, it'll come right for you. But there is a things that'll happen to us in life, and sometimes it can be in a discouragement. But the Lord don't have it for a discouragement. That's not God's plan to be a discouragement. God wants our heart to be able to say, Lord, I want to see you in this. I want to see you. Just help me to know that you're in this. If somebody gets in office, it's not what we look like, and the things that start to look wrong, and we look at that and say, all this stuff is coming. I want you to know that there is a God in heaven. And that there, and the, I would say ultimately, at least in the youngest people in this audience here, you're gonna, if God tarries, he's coming, a lot of you gonna see a lot more than us old people see. But God's gonna be on his throne the whole way. And God's gonna keep it the whole way through, and you can know that it might be a crooked path, but it's only designed to make us better. It's only designed to make our faith realer. And in the middle of all of that, God will speak. And God will show himself strong. And at the end of it, yeah, thrown in a well, made a slave, taken, and he went through what a lot of us go through. Somebody said something about him wasn't true. Yeah, it hurts. Brother Carl said one time, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's the life I ever heard it. It does hurt to have words thrown at you. I'm not sure it hurts. It hurts for somebody to say you're bad when you didn't do anything bad. It don't feel good. And Joseph, with all of his integrity, who's going to believe this young man against this woman? It's the Me Too movement. This is way back there. This is unbelievable. This man, his integrity wasn't believed, and he was thought to be evil. God, you're going to make it that crooked? It gets pretty crooked sometimes. That was only one more step in the great plan of God. And so from there he went to, he's already a slave, couldn't do what he wanted. Now he's actually in a dungeon somewhere. Now he's really tied down into that. That gets pretty crooked. God wants to make something. God wants to make a people of faith. God wants to be able to give us power in our lives. He wants to be able for us to have a genuine love and care for other people. And he'll work on it. And he'll do those kind of things. When it got through, and Joseph interprets the dreams, the Pharaoh ends up calling him. You remember that he calls him, then he interprets the dream. And now God's fulfillment of it is, from rags to riches, from dungeon to palace. What wiser guy, the Pharaoh says. I wonder who gave him that idea. What wiser guy to put in charge of this? We'll put Joseph right straight out of prison. We'll put him in charge, and there'll be none. Well, I'll give him authority, and there'll be none above him save me. No answer to nobody but the Pharaoh. And now, here it rose up, and now God brought him to a place, the scripture says, but in the day of prosperity, be joyful. Well, I think we should always be thankful and joyful. And we should always praise the Lord for it and be thankful for the things we have in our life. We live in a wonderful time. Food's everywhere. We have comforts that people didn't have. We have running water and hot water and, I mean, things that other places in the world don't have. We have all of these things. Surely we ought to be thankful. And we ought to rejoice for the prosperity that we have, that other people don't have. And those kind of things don't make us better, but we sure ought to be thankful. And we ought to rejoice in it. And we ought to thank the giver for it. Thank you, God, for it all. So in the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. That means to stop and think about it. Stop and think about what that adversity has been meant for. It's to make you consider. The adversity is to make you consider. Been prosperous and those things is going on, and I rejoice in that, but it don't make me consider much. But all of a sudden, you know, this stuff comes into my life and the things are changing and I'm worried and all this stuff could happen. Consider. Lord, what do you want? What are you trying to do? It only took you a week to make the the moon and the stars, but you've been working on me a long time. There must be more to it here then. Maybe I'm hindering somewhere here. Lord, consider. I've had times in my life, like I said, that I got... since I've been saved, I don't think I ever remember having the thoughts that I'm not going to serve the Lord. But I sure have got into places before to where I wasn't very diligent about anything. I was just kind of toasting along. What was that? And when I did, the Lord brought the considering times. The Lord brought those things to say, where's this going to go? What's this about? What's going on here? Bring something to into my life that will make me realize that I can't handle life by myself. To make me realize that if I go on this way, it's going to be a disaster. And it turns my consideration around, and then I'm saying, Lord, help me. Lord, have mercy on me here at this time. You've got a goal in your work. You know, each and every one of us here, I think, would probably realize the sin that says in that, and to lay aside every weight in that sin, which does such easily beset you. I think everyone in here could recognize the individual weaknesses that we can have in life. And you might say, this is my thing. I got a temper. I feel like throwing the hammer. Or I talk too much. Or I'm easy to get an attitude, or I keep an attitude. Well, maybe we can't see ourselves that well. I'm going to tell you, God has a goal. God has a goal of us seeing ourselves. See, because God doesn't do it in spite of us. He does it with us. He wants to bring us to the place that we say, Lord, I got an attitude and I want it fixed. I got an attitude that's bothering things and I want it fixed. That temper that I have, Lord, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it, and I know what your goal is. Your goal is to give me grace. Your goal is to change my life. If Lord, I know what your work is. You want to give me some eye salve for me. You want me to see myself. Be able to see who I am and what it's all about. I marvel at the story of Job, because Job is another one of those adversity prosperity ideas. Job prospered. Everything that he done. And so much so that I think Satan said, you got your hands around him. You can't touch him. You protect him so much and he's blessed and I can't get through to him. You know, God made a crooked path for him. Not for the devil's sake. But at the end of it, Job was able to say, I've heard about him, but now I've seen him. He was able to say, come forth as pure gold. I had things, but now, God, consider the work of God and what he really wants. Everything in this creation, he commands, and it obeys. And one thing he created that he left without that, and it's us. And the work that he wants to have in our hearts and lives is that we come to the realization of our own experience. Lord, what do I lack? What's in my life? Lord, shine a light on me. That your work, consider his work. What's he want to do? He wants to make me more like Christ. That's what he wants to do. He wants to work on me until the self-righteousness of my life is gone. He wants to work in my life. Until when I look at others, I see the pity that I ought to have for them. I know what I can have. I can have condensation. I can have condensation. I can have contempt. I can have those feelings of, why are they like that? But that's not what the Lord's work is. The Lord wants us to look at them the way He looked at them. The way the Lord looked at people. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Lord, work with them. He said to His disciples, they said, you want us to bring down fire? Oh, Lord, help us. You want us to bring down fire on them? You know what the work of God is? Changing our spirit. You don't know what spirit you're of. You want to bring down fire on people? I didn't come to bring down fire on people. I come to this that they might be saved. People will always do things and be a way that you don't approve of. But what's our heart? Lord, work in me. Make this a reality of my life. I don't diminish the standards we have. They're godly, and that's what God set for us. And it gives us barriers and all that things. But there's something more than that. There's a real hard experience of how you really are. That's what the work of God is. God wants to work in our hearts and change the things of our lives. Not in a superficial way. He don't want to make religious creatures out of us. Habited creatures. He don't want another religion among religion. He wants to live in our hearts. He wants to change us. From the old man to the new one. Totally through. I think it's a life work. There's states of it, but there's a lot. I think it's an ongoing thing of God's work in our lives. There's little indicators along the line many times. I go along and I'll have a thought about something and I'll have to say to the Lord, or the Lord will remind me, you think that's my thought? Not really. Do you think I want? No. It gets down to the point, Lord, help me to think the right thing. To think the right thoughts. I'll say this. I've been guilty of this. I was talking to a brother about this recently. We have a number of new people. People that coming to our congregation. And it's a thrill. There's nothing gears us up like people interested in coming. And you know, I'm not sure that would have been possible, and I'll speak for myself, totally possible the way it should have been some years ago for me. Because I think I would have, one of them is a kind of a Baptist fellow that was a Nazarene fellow, kind of a Baptist fellow. He's a wonderful brother. I say this sincerely. I call him brother because he's a wonderful brother. He's got a friend that comes with him, and he's of another persuasion. And they love the Lord. And then there's these other people that come and have made so much change in their life. And it was like, we've got to change. We didn't do anything. But lived before. We lived the truth. And we preached and we done that. And we didn't point out anything or do anything. And the Lord led. You know, the old call was come out of her, my people. My people. He claimed them as his people, then why should we not? Honestly, why should we not? Someone comes and says, I'm saved, and we'll come to service with you. Well, I don't know, you don't look like us. Lord, help us. If we've got something to give, be free to give. We're here to give. If we've got something, we're here to give it. If we become so, you know what the work of God is? They're the work of God. It's the work of God. And when we have it right, I'll say this, Jesus don't turn them down. Then why should I? Do you know something else? I've been pondering. The Lord don't make anybody do anything. He gave these things. He didn't make us do it. He influences us by His Spirit. He deals with us, but He doesn't make us do it. Why should we make anybody do it? I've been pondering that. If the Lord don't make them, why should I make them? Does God give me the job to try to make somebody to do something when He don't make them do it? Listen, I'm not against standing up for pro-life life and those kind of things. If you want to have a sign, that's fine, but it's kind of superficial. That's not what the Lord's cause was. The Lord's cause was really to take the gospel to them, and it'll cure the whole person. And you're not left with just an issue. You're left with the gospel with them. You're the change of heart. And they won't want to do that, but they won't want to do the other things that'll keep them out of heaven either. And so our job, the work of God is so important, because I think there's times that I have not having the work done to me, I hindered God's work in others. Lord, help us. It's so exciting to see people coming. And I'm just telling you, I had a guy recently. He comes sometimes to services, and he's an old fella, and I'm a little careful using the word debate, and I'm not going to say argue, but we've dealt with issues a couple times. I mean, with things. And the service one night, and there wasn't even many of us there. And at the end of the service, he says, Marty said, I'm going to talk to you. Well, you know, okay. You know, I'm thinking, okay. Well, that's what I'm here for. So I said, okay, yeah. I want to tell you something. He said, I have heard the angels sing. And yeah, metaphorically. Okay, yeah. And he said, no, you're not getting me. He was telling me about a near-death experience or something. He said, no, I'm telling you, I heard the angels sing. Okay. And he said, you're all the closest that you can ever get on this earth. And he said it as sincerely as he could, as a compliment of the saint. And wasn't even many of us there. And it definitely wasn't me, folks. It was not my deal that did it. Or who knows? Maybe it was. But I'm telling you, you can dismiss people. I know of all the thoughts that he had, all of the revelation explaining he did. I mean, I know the things that we did. But he had something there. And you can dismiss away. You can dismiss away. And they can be somebody that is not to our mind measured up. And they'll come up to me and they'll say, one actually did, Brother Marty, I just want you to know, I don't get anything anywhere else I go. And I always get something special here. I always get fed here. Why would we dismiss that? Lord, help us. Consider the work of God. He's trying to make something out of me. And he's trying to make something out of you. And those people that come visit us, he's trying to make something out of them. That's the work of God, that he's trying to work in everybody's life. And I want the Lord to help us, for whatever reason this message is for, for the Lord to help us erase any self-righteousness that we have. It is a stink to God, and I can prove it in a lot of scriptures. He wants us to be Christ-like in everything we do. He wants us to have the proper view of humanity, of salvation. He wants us to live it first and then present it. To give it out from a pure heart and then present it to those in heaven. And if it's rich for me, it's rich for you. And I was here and you're here and somebody's got a title on all of those things. Folks, I denounce the organizations that are opposed to the things of God. But a person that claims to have Christ, I'm going to say amen. And we'll give them the full opportunity that their testimony is true. in salvation. And I'm going to say, welcome, brother. Welcome, brother, because I've seen God give the increase. I've seen Him give the increase and give the increase. And I'm looking and saying, we didn't do anything but just our part. And the increase, we didn't shove the increase. We didn't push the increase. God just started giving an honest soul increase and increase. And I can preach something that I think, I'll be honest with you, I preach a lot of times and I think, that's just terrible. You can ask my wife. Well, see, that was awful. That was awful. I expect more than that. Lord, help me. It's got to be better than that. It just can't be like that. And one of these ones will come up and say, thank you, Brother Marty. That's exactly what I needed. That's going to take me through the week. Amen. All right, Lord, get me out of this. let me be aside here. And you do your work. You do your work. There's a scripture I want to look at. Well, I'm going to read a little bit more of this. In the day of adversity, consider. God also hath set the one over against the other to the end that man should not find anything after him. The idea is that they're very close. You can step out of one into the other very, very quick. Today you may feel good. Tomorrow you may be very sick. Don't ever count one day for the other. You never know. We need the Lord. Over very familiar scripture in Jeremiah. In the 18th chapter, it says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house. And there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house. And behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. Consider the work of God. He's got the clay on the wheels. And sometimes he makes it into a vessel and it flops over. Or there's a speck or a spot that can't be fired. You can't seal this one like this. It won't hold up under it. You put the fire on this. If anybody knows about pottery, you can't have a bubble in it. You can't have a speck of dirt in it. It's got to be pure. It's got to be, or the heat will run it. It'll destroy under the... No, he didn't fire that thing. He wasn't going to fire it like that. It mired. Oh, sometimes people mire. Well, let's get rid of them. They mire. Leave them in the hands of the Lord. He's on the wheels. He wants to make something, a vessel, out of every one of us. One of these days, the fire is going to fire it for eternity, and so shall it be. That vessel that's made into the clay, it's malleable. It's movable. It's bendable. You can put the handle a little this way, a little that way, and add a little water to it and bend it and do it, make it a little thinner, a little higher, a little taller. You can make it into that. You can change it. Once you put the fire to it, that's it. And one of these days, the Lord wants the fire for eternity. And that's the way we are. And now it's forever, forever and ever. A wonderful story. Thank God for it. But as of now, he's still working on me. He wants to make something of us. His plan is to make something. And I'm glad this says it this way. And he looked at it. Of course, there's a whole meaning behind it, but for the people of Israel. But God tried to make something out of them, and they mired. They went their own way. They done the things. They didn't mire. But he didn't get rid of them. It said he made something else. He kept working with it. If God didn't throw them away, why should I? Why should I dismiss over a failure, a fault? Why should I dismiss if God don't? God, you know what? He told us, he said, I think in one place, they asked about forgiveness. How often should you forgive your brother? How about 70 times 7? How about 490 times in one day? Oh, it's not that. It's perfect. It's as much and as often. There is no limit. And I'll say this, if God told us to do it, He must be that way. He wouldn't have told us to have been a perfect forgiver if He wasn't a perfect forgiver. No matter what your situation is tonight, you may feel like tonight that there is some place in life or something that you've done or you got too far away that nothing can be made. That could not be further from the truth. That couldn't be farther from the truth. That is not in existence. You didn't go too far for the Lord to get you. You're the perfect candidate for the glory of God. You are the perfect one to be on the wheel. Because God wants to make something out of you. And He didn't tell me to forgive 490 times in one day and not be a perfect forgiver. He is the perfect forgiver. Totally and every time. And every time, totally. You know, you and I will forgive sometimes, but we'll hang on to a little bit that will give us a little bit of moral superiority sometimes. We're kind of that way as humans. It's hard to totally forgive. Lord, help us to be made into that image. Amen. To be able to let loose of it. To let it go. And to forgive. So he went to the potter's house and he looked and he got to working. And he saw the purpose of God was to make something. And I say tonight, God wants to make something tonight. And then, I'm going to say, I think this has to come first. I think when the Lord gets to a place, and then He can send more needy people. He can expand gifting. We need more gifting. We need more people with gifts in the church. We need to expand. We need to see these things. He makes, consider the work of God first. Consider getting into the place that the Lord can say, here's you a gift. Here's you something. To edify, to build up, to work with. And all of a sudden you see something outside of yourself. And all of a sudden you step into that, maybe tentatively to start with, the Lord has given you something. And all of a sudden you find yourself doing something that you never thought you was capable of doing. Right. All of a sudden you step into a position and there's somebody needing prayer. And who am I to pray for them? The minister or that. And you go in there and you offer a simple little prayer, but you feel the power of heaven come down into that prayer and make a difference. And you say, I didn't know I could do that. It's called a gift. I still am amazed, and you can think of it however you want to, but I still consider and talk about the fact of my ministering as being a gift. Because I'm always amazed that I get up here and say any particular sentence in a row, or that I can make any sense about anything. And sometimes it don't make sense to me, but somehow it seems to make sense to the ones I'm talking to. And I am amazed sometimes and said, I just did something I never thought I'd be able to do. It was God that gave the gift to be able to do it. And He gives the Spirit to be able to do it. God wants to work. It's His work to change, to work in our lives. It's His work. There was others in the Bible that had that place in their life. Brother Jim White used to say, God chose Saul to be first king. He chose him to be king, but He made David a king. He didn't just choose him. He put him to school. He had to run for his life. You mean I'm king? I don't think I want to be king. Because here comes the crooked paths. No, David. You hang on. Amen. I'm going to make you a king. And the years went by. And Saul throws a javelin at him. Pursues him. Chases him. He's out in the wilderness. This is king? What am I king of? The scorpions? What am I king of out here? I'm king of the wilderness. What do I reign over? this place out here? David, hang on. You're going to school. David, consider the work of God. You ain't ready to be king. You will be. You hang on. You'll be ready to be king. Oh, I want to be a missionary. Watch your prayers, brother. God will make you one. He puts you to school. I want to be a preacher. I don't know why anybody would say it. But have at it. Oh, have at it. And if you're chosen of God, He'll make you one. He'll make you one. Or I tell you a better path. Lord, make out of me what you want me to be. Lord, I could surrender myself to you. But he did say to covet earnestly the best gifts. There's not a problem with saying, Lord, in my line, the Lord never did. I've daydreamed a lot. And I've daydreamed before as being as talented singers as some as you are. But I think I know why the Lord didn't give me that is because I would wear you all out with it. If I could sing like that, I would. Boy, it just would be such a, it seemed like it'd be such an advantage to my ministry to be able to have this great voice. Well, I have to say, God knows where you need crooked paths and straight ones. And God knows what He's doing with that. Well, you know the way I'm talking, I'd be exalted. Come on. I even talk like I'd be exalted with it. And so the Lord didn't. But Lord, help us, because this is so real to me of the work of God. That God, not the works, not the creation, but the work that God wants to do in the world right now. I'm going to suppose that from a moral standpoint, or I say a holiness or a godly standpoint, that the world in large is not going to get better in history in the coming times. I'm going to state that I think it's going to get worse and worse. And God wants a people to shine like a light in it. Now I'm going to give you what might be hard for you. But God claimed that of kings and rulers, that He set them up and He takes them down. And when David was put in under an evil, wicked Nebuchadnezzar, he honored him. And when he was under Darius, he looks out of the den and says, O king, live forever. Lord, help us to be first Christian, first Christ-like, to honor, to stand in the place. If God puts that crooked path, let me honor what God does. Let me be what I'm supposed to be in my time. I disagree with a lot of policies, and anybody that knows me knows that if you want an opinion, come and talk to me. You'll get one, because I can have an opinion. But I try never to degrade our official people. Not because of the policy, but because God said He put them there. And when David was having to deal with Saul, he would not touch the anointed. If God put him there, who am I to take him out? If God put him there, and it might be a crooked path, but that crooked path will have everything in it for us that we need. It will be a blessing to the people of God. And not only that, it will be a witness to the world of what a person really ought to be. This is what being godly looks like. Do you know that Jesus' ministry lasted for 3.5 years? He was here for 33.5 years on earth. And I can't find any scriptures where he tried to change the policies of the Roman Empire. He told the people, "Give it. Hey, whose inscription's on the coin? Well, give it to him if it's his." But he never tried to change policies. His work wasn't there. He had a work. Consider his work. It wasn't in those things. It was in the hearts of men. There is where the work belongs. Lord, give us full attention to the work in our hearts and the work in others. Help, Lord, help me to be one that will help and benefit the work of God in the hearts of men. To change and alter and make hateful men loving. And to challenge by our love the hatred of others. And to lift up the highest moral standard of Jesus Christ to the world, challenging them. This is the best way. This is the way for happiness. Because the bottom line is we all want happiness. And the crooked line isn't happiness. But what happens in life is especially in financial ways, we always assume that happiness is hooked to financial things. And it isn't. It's not. It's not in the things of this world and the things that you can do. It doesn't rest in the abundance of the things that you could possess. It rests in Christ. So as a heart matter, I want to leave it to you. These simple words. Consider the work of God. Amen. You pray for me.